Sports and Recreation Center on the campus of the College of Staten Island. It's time for the Dolphin Pod, the official College of Staten Island athletics podcast. With your host, David Pizzuto.
Austin Mick with a 9-point lead. Mick flying to the perimeter, gets it over to Latunji for three. Dolphins work it back up to 12 points.
In-depth stories, reviews and previews, interviews, and so much more. It's all right here. And now for the Dolphin Pod, here is your host, David Pizzuto.
Welcome, Dolphins fans, to the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com and from wherever you are listening to us today. This is Season 2, Episode 13. We are premiering our show on Friday, December 11th, 2020. I am David Pizzuto, broadcasting from my home in South River, New Jersey. And of course, joining me is co-host, also associate head men's basketball coach, Nick Duran. Nick, how are you today?
Doing good, Dave. You know, excited to do another show. I think I know this guest pretty well. I'll let you break the news of who it is, but this should be a fun show today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm really excited because I got the associate head coach, and we'll also bring on the head coach for men's basketball. Of course, TJ Tibbs will join us right after our first commercial break. Last week, we explored men's basketball for the student-athlete perspective with new recruit Messiah Mallory, who we're yet to see on the floor for CSI, but of course, one of your prized recruits, Nick. And today we get a chance to talk to TJ specifically about the 2020-2021 season. We had TJ on the show over the summer to talk about the number one moment on the Flashback Friday countdown, which was your Division II win against New York Tech. But, you know, that's something that we hung our hat on for a long time, and we're going to have to continue to do that because you guys have kind of been, you know, on a standstill with the COVID pause. But still, men's basketball is still plenty to be excited about, and I'm sure you and TJ will shed a lot more light.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, last week was fun with Messiah to, you know, see this students' aspect of it, the players' aspect of it, for what's going on at this point. But, you know, TJ is going to be a great guest as always. And, you know, he'll have a lot to talk about with everything we're doing as a staff and how we're moving forward as well. So it'll be a fun show.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got a lot of, you know, positive comments from the Messiah interview. And it's amazing. I actually got a text from somebody saying, how did he get a PS5? You know, that was the big takeaway from it. And, you know, one of my friends was laughing because he's like, is that what you're doing to get recruits into your building? You're promising them free PS5s. I'm like, yeah, as soon as I get mine, we'll start giving them out to the kids. And let's just say I don't have one yet. So
priorities, Dave, priorities.
Exactly. So, but no, it was a great refreshing conversation. It's great to hear about what's going on in Dolphin Cove as well, our residence halls at the College of Staten Island, because those kids are there and we're for the most part at home here having to do our work from remote places. And Nick, I know we spoke about this last week a little bit, but I'll pose that question to you first before we do it to TJ. How difficult is it or how easy is it to do some of the things that you were doing as a coach, but having to do them relegated from home and virtually, and for the most part using technology and our computers instead of the face-to-face contact that we're used to?
I would say, like, at the beginning, it's tough getting used to, because again, a lot of things are always hands-on or face-to-face or sitting and meeting with a group of coaches. But I think we're in a pretty good rhythm now with, we meet once a week on Zoom as all the coaches. We go over recruiting. We go over where we're going with the program, what we need to do. So we're continuously meeting. So from the coaches' aspect point of it, I feel like we've really grown as a group. And we really have been working exactly how hard as we should during this time of the year. And for the kids' point of it, too, like, we meet as much as we can. But I think it's really tough, you know, because, again, we've talked about it with a lot of the other coaches. We all coach so that we can be part of the kids' life every day. And as much as you're still part of their life through texting and calling and Zoom, it's just so much different being in person. And that's the reason why we do our job. And, you know, it's even the reason why you do your job, is to be around the student athlete as much. And that's what makes the job the most pleasurable job in the world.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And, you know, one of the things that I'm kind of noticing, too, is that remote learning is affecting athletes, you know, I don't want to say more than the normal student, because I don't know. I don't have that data, but I'm assuming it hurts athletes a lot. And the reason why is because athletes are just so used to getting up and going, so used to having a full day of just bouncing from place to place and being in front of people, performing in front of people, performing in front of a classroom. And I think the more and more I speak to athletes, the more and more I start hearing stories about, I'm just not in a good place with remote work. I'm not in a good place with not being able to see my classmates, my teammates. Do you find that with your team when you're on Zoom calls, that a lot of them are expressing that type of frustration?
Yeah, for sure. And like I always said it before too, like I couldn't imagine doing this at all. Like I didn't love going to class, but definitely learning online and not being part of a group. Like all these kids are part of a team all day. So even being part of a group in a classroom and working, doing group work, like all that stuff helps so much. And I honestly think, you know, a lot of athletes are more visual learners. Mm-hmm. You know, they are always looking at a scout or looking at film or looking at this. Like, it's just a visual thing. So, you know, their mind might be programmed to be more of a visual person. And, you know, when you're learning online, you have to teach yourself. So it's definitely a big challenge for our kids. They've been doing great in the classroom. We're very proud of them. But it's definitely a struggle. And I think it has to do along those lines of, you know, visual learning and being part of groups is what they strive on.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it's something that we don't do enough coming kind of investigating on. And we're certainly not prepared for it, because COVID was not something that we prepared for. It's not like a seminar or a training you can go to and say, get ready for this, it's coming. And when it does, here are best practices. But, you know, Nick, I will put you on the spot, and maybe I'll put TJ, ask him the same question. But what are some of your best practices? You've been in this kind of world now for the past 8-9 months, you know, pretty much exactly when your season ended was when we went into this lockdown. And if you had things that you've learned during this time, that you know, as far as best practices and how now to do it better, what would some of those things be in your opinion?
Well, I think like this whole thing, like I've said it before, like as a coach, this has really like opened a lot of doors for a lot of coaches. And I think the biggest thing it did for me is again, the communication part of it and just being literally part of the kid's life every day. Mm-hmm. And finding little topics that you guys enjoy so that you just always have something to talk about. And it's the same thing with recruits and stuff too. You know, you like the same video game, so now you have something to text about instead of having to call and sit down and have a long conversation. You're kind of just tied into their everyday life. And I feel like that helps them communicate with you more. And I think we're really learning that as a group. And I think the other thing too is communication amongst coaches, because again, we're away from each other a little bit. We still get together and do our meetings, but it makes us reach out more, you know, really be involved in each other's lives. So I think the biggest thing you take from this is, you know, don't take the little things for granted. And, you know, everybody that's part of your life and something that you're really truly doing as a family, you know, stick as close as you can through the whole time. And I think that's what we really learned as a basketball team.
Yeah, that's another really great point, because sometimes when you work in athletics, and I will speak from experience, is that you get so caught up and wrapped up into what you're doing that sometimes you do forget the fact that, you know, at least in this case, that there's still a national pandemic going on. There's still people dying. There's still people losing their livelihoods and their jobs. And you know, sometimes you need to set aside some time to deal with that and just understand that there is a bigger picture too. So that's a really interesting point. And, you know, I guess the last question I'll have for you, Nick, before we get TJ and maybe get his perspective on this question as well is, you know, normally at this time of the year, December 10th, December 11th, in that time frame, you would have like 3 or 4 games under your belt at least. And that's a good way to kind of assess what you've done to this point. Right. But without that, without the rubric of games and wins and losses, how do you guys as a coaching staff kind of measure, okay, we're doing our job well, we're not doing our job well, we're falling short in this area, we're overachieving in this area? Do you guys have kind of like an evaluation system for what it is that you're doing and if you're doing it well in this non-competitive environment that we're in?
For sure. I think you know, especially us going to a Division II level, we're trying to rebuild the program. So this kind of, I wouldn't say helps us, but it kind of helps us develop our younger guys and to mold them to what we really want them to be. And I think something like last week, you know, having Messiah on here and open up as much as he did and to speak as much as he did, you know, us as coaches, we never even heard him speak in that manner as much too. So it was great to hear and to watch the younger kids grow so quickly without even being around them on a daily basis is remarkable because everybody's buying in. Right. So I think like that's like the real cool thing about, you know, from getting this from a bad perspective or a bad time in the world to get something like that really shows that like we're building something and we're making a difference in these kids' lives. And I think that's like the backbone of our program. So I think that's huge progression for us. And you know, we would love to judge it on a basketball scale instead, but you know, we're seeing growth in our kids on a daily basis and, you know, they're going to be the core of our program moving forward. So to really help them mold into what they're going to be this year is going to only better them on the court next year. So it's been a great ride for us. We just wish we could add a little basketball to it.
Sure, sure. Well, once again, Nick, very well put. And I know it's one of the things that we talk about as an administrative staff is like we don't have that win-loss column anymore to tell us how we're doing. So how are we measuring success? What are we kind of looking for in our athletes or in the philosophy of our coaching staffs and what they've set up as a threshold for success? So, you know, it's stuff that we talk about too, and it brings it so much more into focus when you're not playing, when you don't have a game day to look forward to, when you're not kind of busy with that type of busy work. You know, it allows you to kind of expand a little bit. So it's all great food for thought, and it makes me anyway very excited to talk to TJ Tibbs, who always has some good thoughts in his mind and allows us to see the big picture a lot of the time. So what Nick and I will do is we will step aside, take a break. When we come back, we will get TJ Tibbs ready to join us here. The head basketball coach at the College of Staten Island will join us on the flip side of this break. Stay with us. This is Season 2, Episode 13 of the Dolphin Pod.
You're listening to the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com.
Champions know how to seize opportunities. When they see moments of greatness unfold right before their eyes, they push as hard as they possibly can. And then they push harder. Because the heart of a champion never settles, never quits, and never stops giving its all. We are champions. We are Division II. We go big, we give it everything we've got, and we win. On the field, on our campuses, in our communities, for our causes, in our careers. We rise to become champions in everything we do. We are Division II and there are no limits here. We make our time count. We set our own path. We become champions on our terms. It's time to up your game because we're here to play and learn. But most importantly, we're here to discover ourselves. Our vision, our heart, our drive to achieve every goal we aim for because we want to be champions at the highest level, life. At Division II, the opportunities are here. Are you ready?
Welcome back to the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com.
Welcome back, Dolphins fans, to the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com and from wherever you are tuning in to us today. This is Season 2, Episode 13, and we have head men's basketball coach TJ Tibbs joining Nick and I on this edition of the podcast. TJ, how are you today?
I am amazing. How are you guys doing?
Doing really well. Great to have you back. We know we had you just a couple of short months ago, kind of concentrating on the year that was, the past year, 2019, 2020. Now we kind of want to flip the script and talk a little bit about what's going on right now at the college with your program and, of course, outlook on the future. I guess we'll start at the very top, though, TJ, and how are you doing these last, obviously, few months as we started the fall semester, as basketball coach, as human being, as person, how is COVID days treating you?
Yeah, it's been an everyday, I don't want to say battle because it makes it seem like it's a negative connotation, but it's just been an everyday, work in progress. Nothing, and I'm sure everybody can relate to this, is just we're in uncharted territory as far as worrying about health. It's, you know, regardless of what your beliefs are, and worrying about the people that are near and dear to your heart who may be at risk. And then also just moving into the new territory of routines being broken. And that's something that has been the hardest for me since I was 5 years old. I've been playing basketball or been associated with some basketball season. So my body just understands at certain times of the year that I'm supposed to be doing certain things. Mm-hmm. And I'm totally absent of that. Yeah, we're doing other things, but as far as being in the gym, getting better, that's been like the story of my life, just trying to improve. And a lot of that has been centered around sport, specifically basketball. So, you know, I've been really focusing on mentally staying fresh, getting into new routines, trying to substitute for old routines and trying to best mirror those routines, so that I can at least trick my body and mind to, believe that we're still doing the same thing that we should be doing at this time. So every day is something different. And also trying to stay mindful, outside of myself, of the people around me, especially, you know, the guys on the team.
Sure. And speaking of those guys on the team, you know, I was talking to Nick in the pregame here of this show, talking about how usually at this point of the season you'd be, you know, 4, 5, 6 games in, you know, getting set for, you know, for the conference portion of the season, things like that. And without that involved and kind of not having that, can you tell us a little bit of the state of the program right now, like where you guys are at, what's up with the team, I guess you could say, how is day-to-day like now, understanding that we're still kind of grounded with COVID rules and regulation, and what you guys have kind of been up to from a team perspective?
All right, so we're not in the gym. I think that's well documented, so we haven't been on campus. We were even trying to break up the weeks a little bit to just, when it was nice outside, just to, not basketball-wise, but just to gather outside and kind of just interact with each other and meet in different neighborhoods and just try to get a feel for that neighborhood or whatever the case may be, just to get people out of the house. But our main focus right now has been on their overall personal development. So number one is school and getting the job done, not making excuses. It's an easy time to really fall into, well, I don't learn this way, or my teacher did this, or this, the Zoom isn't working. And I understand it's trying times, but at the same time, you know, we have a responsibility as a player, as a student athlete, as a coach, as a program, to make sure that we're doing our job, and making sure that we're still performing at high levels, even with all the difficulties that are surrounding us. So we've really been focused on that, been trying to focus on connecting kids with things that they're interested in. A lot of my kids are interested in the stock market and their future, what's going on. So trying to connect those guys with people that could possibly help them or link them to articles or resources that could help them. And then on the basketball end, I really told them, you guys are student athletes. So even though we're not together doing basketball things, it's your responsibility to make sure that whenever this is a go, if and when it's a go, that you're in the best shape you can possibly be in, and you can control what you can control. So you can get out to the park and work on your game. You can go running. Now that gyms are open on Staten Island, you get into the gym, workout gyms and keep yourself in top condition, because there's no excuse. If you got to wake up early, if you have to stay up later, whatever the case may be, we just have to make the most of what we have. Try to get a partner, preferably somebody on the team. It makes it easier, both mentally and physically. And just continue to work as if tomorrow we have a season. I think that will put us in the best mental position and the best physical position. But whenever it is, they say that we can get back in the gym and start playing basketball.
Great.
Yeah, and, you know, through these times, you know, we always say some of the hardest things are communication and, you know, staying in touch with a full group of kids. But, you know, what are some of the keys that you feel like are essential through these times that you have to keep going through this program?
One is I'm trying to be aware of not over-communicating, especially virtually, because these are uncharted territories, and the only way we can communicate is through Zoom or through a text or, you know, through FaceTime, whatever it may be. So I'm trying to stay aware of the fact that these kids are sitting looking at a screen all day. And, you know, because I look at a screen for the majority of the day, I only interact with people through the screen. And it sucks. There's no better word for it. It just sucks. It's just not real. Sometimes it's more demoralizing than before you get on a call, and I understand those emotions. So I've actually tried to play with the balance of, you know, we used to meet twice a week. You know, my freshman, we meet four times a week. And then there were periods where I said, you know, we're not going to meet at all. We're just not. I don't want to. Because I felt like every time I met with them, we were discussing things, but the elephant in the room is, are we going to play? Even if we're not talking about anything with basketball, like, they're looking to me to give them some direction on what's going to happen. And, you know, trying to stay away from over-communicating. Everything is a Zoom. So trying to stay away from that. And my guys know, you know, us as coaches, if you need us, reach out. Trying to have some more individual conversations just on the phone. Or randomly FaceTiming some guys that I might not talk to as often, making sure they're on top of things, but also giving them the space to feel the way that they need to feel. And not feeling like, oh, here's another Zoom I have to log on to and, you know, have my camera on, because, you know, I have a huge opinion about making people put their cameras on. But out of respect, everybody in our program, we all just put the cameras on. There's never a thought to not put it on. But I think it's demoralizing for kids to make sure that they have their cameras on at all times. So trying to find a balance and trying to be available for everybody, you know, and also just not trying to put them in the overdrive by every time I communicate with them. It's an ask, especially in the COVID world with all these things that we got to worry about and be prepared for. So. Just trying to have more conversations in peace before we actually get to war and have to ask them for things.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point with the over-communicating in Zoom, because I think we could all say it at this point that we're all sick of it and we need a little human interaction. But, you know, so it's hard adjusting to that lifestyle, especially we've had many coaches on here. And one of the things we always talk about is, we get into this field so that we can be hands-on and we could be in the kids' lives every day. What are some of the hardest adjustments that you had to go through, you know, learning this whole new style of coaching, of communicating, of being around the kid without being around the kid?
I think at first I was overcompensating for trying to, you know, in September, trying to make sure that we're still learning. How are our freshmen going to learn our system? So we're doing virtual film sessions where we're cutting up things and having people answer questions on Zoom calls. We're going through things. We're having guys diagram situations on Zoom calls. And all these things worried about basketball, because obviously our level of things are going to happen were much different in September. So you're still preparing, like, you know, we can get in at any time. But the biggest thing was kind of taken away that, you know what, I'm not even going to talk about basketball as far as scheme or learning things about our program. I just don't think it's that important right now at all. And honestly, if we're lucky enough to, and fortunate enough to have a season, whatever we're able to get in, I mean, we're competitive, so we're going to want to go out there and compete. But who cares if they don't know Spider 2-wide banana. Like, who cares if they don't know it? It doesn't matter. It doesn't, like, what matters is that we don't know the short-term and long-term effects that this is having on the kids. So it's my responsibility to make sure that we're all mindful of that and trying to consistently listen to what the guys are saying and listen to their actions. You know, the guys on our team, led by our older guys, they're amazing. You tell them to show up on time, they're early. So they do that out of respect to our program. But I know some of these times they're like, Coach, I don't want to be on this call, man. I don't want to be talking about ball screen coverages in this call. And honestly, you just got to respect that and not try to be Coach Tibbs. I've just been TJ Tibbs. And that's been the biggest adjustment, because I live for having my office door open and just, you know, worrying about a game the night before or a game coming up, and then a kid just sitting down telling me some funny story about how he tried to get sneakers and he couldn't or something. So we're missing that natural interaction. Every interaction that we're having with the kids is forced. We're just missing that daily, just seeing the kid's face and just knowing he don't have it today. And who knows why he doesn't have it, but he doesn't have it. I don't know, my kids don't have it. And that hurts. And that sucks, because they're not as expressive, especially the younger guys, as they should be. And we all struggle with that. And what should we share? Especially as men, there's this stigma that we can't speak out about whatever because we're soft, right? So it's hard to get that communication across when you don't see your guys every day. And that's been the most hurtful thing. The basketball can be replaced, but there's nothing that can be replaced like sitting down eating a meal with your team and everybody's laughing, but one kid's in the corner who usually laughs and he's not laughing. And then we have a bigger conversation about something else that may be bothering them. So it sucks feeling like I'm not there for them. You know, that put me in a certain type of place for a bit, but then it's also out of my control. So all I can do is just try to be better for them all the time and just consistently be available.
Yeah, great, great. And that's some really good perspective, you know, and it's something that a lot of people, let alone coaches, are just not talking about. But I think you see where that kind of compensation has to come based on the times that we've been given, how we need to adjust and concentrate on different things. Do you feel that could pay a price, TJ, with basketball, when and if things do get back on track, of having to kind of overcompensate to get back into a basketball mindset? Or do you think that comes pretty naturally with players in general and with your players specifically?
I do think it will have a profound effect. Now, I think it will work two ways. I think kids will be ecstatic to be in the gym, to get out the house, to have physical ability, to perform physically and to do the things that they just love to do, especially my seniors. Like the last time that I coached them, like I haven't coached Christian Taylor in 2 years, technically, in a basketball game. Who would have thought losing a buzzer beater to Baruch in a championship would be the last time I would coach Christian Taylor potentially? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just outrageous. It's just crazy. Like, neither one of us thought that. And, you know, we had senior night last year, our last game, and we're sending off our four great seniors. And, oh, did we have three last year? I'm getting old. I don't know. But we're sitting there. One of the most upset kids was Christian, because that was a group he was supposed to go out with. So it really hit him hard. And he never would think that I'm not going to play again. So I think the basketball is going to be horrible. You know, people are going to play well in all this, and everybody's handled it differently, and kudos to them. But I just think it's going to be horrible, because every kid is going to have a false expectation and pressing of what they want because they've been without the game for so long. And then it's like, okay, if we have a season, it's going to be a shortened season. So the seniors really, really want this. So do you think a senior is going to want to, and all my seniors play. So it's not like I have a senior on my team who doesn't play. They all play. So you think they're going to want to come out of the game? Any game, if there's like 10 games, they're going to want to play 40 minutes every single game. And do I blame them for being emotional about that? No. I mean, they should want to feel that way anyway in a regular year, but everything just matters way more. So it's trying to, if it happens, trying to understand that if we're spending our time managing basketball, then I, in my opinion, we're just bad coaches, because especially in a situation where we you know, we're competitive. So anytime we lace them up, I want to win. But we can't play in the postseason anyway. And I would never approach it differently. We didn't last year, we wouldn't this year, and we're not next year. I'm not gonna approach the games differently, but this year, considering all that's going on, I mean, it might have to. Mm-hmm. To give the seniors who are not going to come back a chance to do more. I don't know. I haven't really sat and thought about that, but I'd be silly to think that we're going to come back and look like a team that we should look like. Sure. I just don't expect that at all. But then again, I've been surprised by my kids and how strong and courageous they are throughout my, you know, now fourth year here. So I wouldn't be surprised if they shocked.
Sure, sure. No, that's, again, good perspective. I'm sure a lot of coaches are dealing with that same impact if their season obviously gets underway. You know, I think for you personally, TJ, and for the programs in general at CSI, it's kind of doubly taxing because, you know, not only are we dealing with everything that everybody else is dealing with in COVID and the pausing and things like that, but there's also so much newness to our program, even though we're long established. I mean, you're still a relatively young coach and young coaching staff. We just made the jump to Division II. This year was supposed to be the first full immersion into the East Coast Conference. It's your first scholarship class of kids that you're bringing in. You elevate one of your coaches to an associate, you lose another, bring a new coach in and Steve Diaz. So there's still so many new kind of gears that are moving within your program. Can you talk about having to kind of measure all of those things that come with this specific program, you know, set against the backdrop of what we're dealing with now and how that's kind of sent you, like what the mindset is with all of that?
Well, I can tell you what the mindset is. The standard is the standard. So it just doesn't change, you know, regardless of all that, because a lot of that for why we're not doing things or progressing could just go into the excuse jar. But yeah, there's so much. And honestly, all those things are exciting, right? So you talk about a couple of things you hit on, Nick Durand getting elevated to associate head coach, and that's exciting. And Steve Diaz coming in, a guy who played for me when he was in high school, and coached under Tony, that's exciting. J.C. Albano going to be the athletic director of his alma mater, Moore Catholic, that's exciting. His first full year, all these things are exciting. So I try not to think about it as anything, you know, negative and we're missing out, because in the end, we still have jobs to do and we love to do these things. And we all end up in a rut. I try to be mindful of that. And it is tough, of course, because you're thinking about, man, we would have our first trip here and our first year here and fully jump in and compete. And that's a lot of fun. We're very competitive. We want to get out there and we want to put our best foot forward. But, we, you know, these things, these circumstances are outside of our control. But the things that are in our control as far as our everyday approach, our standards that we hold for ourselves, our standards that we hold for each other, our standards that we hold for the kids, like, that doesn't change. It's just it's a gift and a curse that I have. It's just I'm not wilting on the things that we're supposed to do. So we're supposed to be somewhere on time. I don't care if it's physically in front of me or it's in Zoom. Don't tell me that the Zoom password or that. I don't want to hear that. So these things are not changing because these are the main tenets of our program and being accountable. So do I feel a little guilty at times? Pushing guys forward, and by guys, I mean general, because we now added Sam Spadaro, who's, you know, a Staten Islander, who's a GA for us and helping us, an intern. Yeah, I mean, I do feel guilty at times, but at the same time, I feel like I'm doing what's necessary as a leader to make sure that people are pushing past their potential. And I think that's my job. We talk about it all the time. We just had a meeting last night for recruiting, and I was very thorough about, if I'm not helping you guys get better, then what am I actually doing for you? Because then you're only just doing stuff for me. Same thing I tell the kids. If you're playing well in the basketball court and you just leave here with a degree, which is awesome, but you only leave here with a degree and you came and you rebounded and you scored and you assisted, you're only helping me and my family. We're not really pouring into you. So the way that I can best pour into people is to hold them accountable and to help them build habits. That is my role here in this program. And that is everybody. That's from the seniors to the freshmen to the associate head coach, to the assistant coach, to the intern, to the manager. Shout out to Shabari Norris because he's amazing. So all those things are important. And in return, it's their duty to hold me accountable. And that's something that's, I guess, is unique about our program because, like I said the other day, I miss our older kids like cussing me out because we're upset with each other. Like I miss that. I would kill for that. But it's about accountability and trust and belief in each other to be able to push through anything. Because as much as I want this coronavirus situation to be the worst thing that all of us go through in life, it's not going to be. I know it's not. I hope it is because this has been miserable. But I know it's not going to be. So how am I going to equip everybody that ultimately I'm responsible for to push forward and to be better? I got to hold them accountable and I can't make excuses. And, you know, I got to push through my own personal struggles. But, you know, it's great having people who are your friends who you coach with, whether that's developed or that's from before, because they can hold you accountable in a way that's outside of your profession. They can do it personally. You can have personal conversations. So that's why I'm grateful for always having the best assistant coaching staff in the country because they keep me honest and they keep me sane, to tell you the truth.
Great.
Yeah, and, you know, we spoke about it in the intro, me and Dave, and, you know, if we were playing right now, we're judging our season wins and losses, you know, how the season's going, and that's completely how we're judged, you know, but now you kind of have to judge it on a different basis. What are some things that you see as wins for you in what's happening in the program and how kids are handling things at this point?
That's a great question because we actually talked about the other day. Like, I don't even know if GPA is a great indicator of winning in school right now. GPA is a reflection of discipline more than it is of intellect. I've had kids who aren't that smart in class get great grades because they really busted their tail in the classes. And I've had kids who are genius who didn't get as good of grades because they just didn't have a professional approach. So that's one thing academically I've looked at is like, what is a win academically? I know what it is. Yeah, we all know what it is in a 4-year period, right? Or at the end of their careers to graduate. We all know that. But the type of kids that we bring into the program, they don't need us to graduate college because they're disciplined on their own. We add to them, but they would graduate college everywhere that they went. I believe in that. Those are the type of kids we bring into the program. We don't have to hold anybody's hand. They need guidance, but we don't have to hold their hands. So what other value are we providing to them and how are we seeing that value spit back to us? One of the main things that gave me a moment and really moved me emotionally was Messiah Mallory doing the podcast. Because when we recruited him and I've been up to his house and he's been down here and I've seen him in AAU and Nick's seen him play a high school game before he tore in his ACL. And I've interacted with his mother, his brothers, and his father. And all those interactions, he might have said 20 words to me in all seriousness. He just didn't talk that much. And he's gotten down here and he's become more talkative. But the way he handled himself on that podcast was a win because he represented himself, his family, everybody who's had an impact on him. I can't even take credit for that. But he really represented us tremendously. And that's easy for me to point and use that kid speaking as an example when people would say, I got a kid for you, or this kid, he's this and that. I'm like, these are the kids that we want. And this is step one of his development and growth because I would have never thought that he could do that. But also, we didn't withhold that challenge from him because we thought that he wouldn't do a good job. If he was going to fail, he needs to look at that. And I'm sure there's things he wants to work on because we have interviews, mock interviews on Zoom when we meet sometimes. So he, and shout out to Ryan Highland because he helped me with that idea. But he did a tremendous job. And he actually texted me and he said, I used one of the things you did. I said, oh, that's a good question because I had to buy myself some time to answer. And this is a kid that I haven't been able to coach. I haven't been able to really interact with. And he's crediting me for something with his growth and he's putting in the play. So that makes me excited to coach him. So things like that, things about how, you know, when you speak to their parents, you run into them, you see a change with them and how they're acting at home or how they're being accountable, whatever the case may be. Those little things, the things that aren't really measurable, but they give you a certain feeling, those have been the wins. because it's great to tweet out your GPA and shout out to that. I hope you have a 4.0. I mean, that's amazing. But is that necessarily a win if every kid on my team had a 4.0? Because they're probably sacrificing something that they shouldn't be sacrificing to be able to get that. And where does that go? Because the reality of it is that most, I'm going to say safely, jobs never ask you what your GPA was in college. So what are we really teaching the kids and how they're achieving it? The GPA is a reflection of your discipline and your professionalism. That's what it's about. That's why GPA is important. Not because it shows you you're smarter than somebody. Absolutely not. So just trying to get those things ahead, trying to be flexible, trying to get the right message across. Because the minute you tell a kid GPA doesn't matter, then it's not going to matter to him. They're going to get D's and C's, and we don't want that. So the messaging is important in trying to get that communication through so they can build these everyday habits so that they can be champions, literally champions.
Yeah, and very well said. You know, I think our whole program is just built on accountability, and you know, that's how, honestly, we value our wins even more than the games. As you could tell from a season like we had last year, we still valued the season so highly. But, you know, I'm going to make a public service announcement quick. Coach TJ Tibbs is back in the gym, people. So I want you to explain a little bit, just, you know, a little bit about health and what it's doing for you, and you know, how it's putting you in a different mindset. And, you know, the athletes that are listening now, you know, even beyond working out for their sport and training for their sport, how important health is, especially in a time like this.
Yeah, I appreciate that question, brother, because that's important. And, you know, that's we talked about that individually. Like, that's a personal struggle. And I'm going to tell you the truth. My relationship with the gym as a player was always to be better for my sport. I don't love lifting. It's not fun. I don't like it. I don't care how good it makes me look. I only did it to be a better basketball player. And once you're done playing basketball, I was done with the gym. And fortunately, or whatever, my body type is the type that I can pretty much eat whatever I want, and you're not really going to see a difference physically. And that's how we tend to judge ourselves, right? We post pictures, or we look ourselves in the mirror, and okay, physically. And then when you don't like what you look like physically, you start thinking about doing exercise. And that's completely backwards. Because my mental, especially during coronavirus, and I'm not afraid to say this, has been literally destroyed. And I've tried everything. At the beginning of coronavirus, when people were scared to even talk to each other on the phone because of whatever, like, I just started walking. And I would walk every day, and I would listen to podcasts, or I would make phone calls to people to stay in touch with them, and I would walk around my neighborhood. But after a while, that got really, really boring. Then I started biking, and that was fun. Some of my other friends started biking with me. I was able to see different parts of Staten Island because I went on long bike rides. I went on one ride that I rode the whole perimeter of Staten Island with a couple of my friends. And I seen places on Staten Island, being a lifelong Staten Island, I've seen places that I've never seen before, which is weird. But that was an amazing experience. But then the weather starts getting colder and riding your bike is not that fun. And then within all these changing of habits, you get the ups and downs that goes with being excited for doing something and now you can't do it. Gyms were closed. So gym was never an option. And working out by yourself is very hard. At least for me, it's very hard. So shout out to my cousin Juan Jala, who just moved back here from Kentucky. He was home and he's like, I want to get back in the gym. And I jumped at it. I said, no, we're going to go in the morning. We're going to go 6:45, 7 o'clock in the morning. So we never have an excuse of why we can't go, right? I have this Zoom meeting. I have this. Oh, I ran into this. I got wedding planning and stuff. So like, I don't want any excuse, because at 6:45 in the morning, there's no excuses besides waking up. So waking up and going, and sure, I mean, this has been week 6 now, and I've seen a huge change in my physical, but that pales in comparison to my mental, because it gives me something to look forward to every day to start my day. My mood is never bad. I could be really sore. It could be a really hard workout, but my mood is never bad. And my mental has been a lot more controlled. And I'm not a mental health professional. I never want to say I'm depressed or anxious, or because that's disrespectful to people who are actually depressed and have anxiety. But there's something going on in my head, or there's something going on in general that it's just a sense of loss with things, and it's hard. I joke to everybody, like, I have my dog, you know, my fiance works in a central place, so she has to go to work every day. She has not stopped going to work, but I'm at home, just me and my dog, and thank God I have my dog, but a lot of times I'm just waiting for my dog to talk at this point. Like, we're spending so much time together, and you're around the same surroundings, and you don't have human interaction. It's really tough, and I know I'm not the only one going through that. I just started recently cutting up video and putting it out online because it gives me back into the routine of scouting somebody, because we'd usually be spending a lot of time hovered over a computer trying to figure out a way to beat somebody, and that has been taken away from me. So instead of complaining about it and sulking about it because other people are playing on TV, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to get into my routine. And I'm going to share it out there with people, not because I think I know everything, but just because I want to interact with people. I've had great conversations about basketball. So now I feel like I'm in the season. I'm watching the game. I'm watching Duke versus Illinois last night, and I'm watching it, and I'm just analyzing it, and then texting people, and people are texting me, and I feel like I'm in the season, and it's a mirage, and I'm faking it. But I believe me this, I'm doing the best job of faking it for myself while keeping all the real things that have to do with the habit. So it's hard to admit that and to say that out loud. But who am I as a leader of young men to sit here and tell everybody to toughen up and to be strong? Like, I'm struggling every day. I'm struggling. But trying to be respectful to everybody who's going through real clinical struggles. How dare I say I'm anxious or I'm depressed? I'm neither. I'm struggling. I'm going through a rut. I have faith, so I know that the light is at the end of the tunnel, and I'm trying to control everything that I can control every day, without the human interaction that is so prevalent and paramount in my life. So the gym has been a big part of that. It's reflected in my mental more than anything, and hopefully it makes me a little bit more educated, so that when people are going through things, I can use my own personal experience and be humble about it to help somebody else.
Great, great. And you know, TJ, I really, you know, I value the honesty there, and it's, you know, it's very true for a lot of us. I know, you know, we've had some of those conversations ourselves, just you and I, sometimes, you know, in the background of our divisional talks when we're talking as a complete staff. So I certainly appreciate the honesty there. And, you know, I hate the fact that we have to wrap up this interview soon, because I have like 12 questions I still want to ask. And it's just a reinforcement that we need to have you back and flesh this out a little bit more. But I did want to ask you a final couple of thoughts on your end, because I know the basketball part, what goes on the hardwood, is the payoff to a lot of people. I mean, you personally have a lot of fans. This program has a lot of fans, and that payoff always comes at the on the court against whoever it is that you're going up against. And I want to ask you a quick question about that in terms of, you know, you have your first true Division II recruiting class, scholarship class, and there's, you know, I mean, you said that standard of excellence never changes, but you've always been one to kind of continue to challenge yourself with basketball, to redefine yourself. And so my question to you is, when and if you do get back on that court, what kind of team do you want to be? What kind of basketball what's the basketball look like that you want to incorporate with the way this team looks right now, with the way it's going? You know, what can we look forward to seeing when we do see CSI back in action?
Yeah, a very tough and physical team. I think obviously by the nature of the type of kids that we can recruit, that they're going to look differently. They're going to have different attributes than in the past. And that's no knock to the great players we've had in our Division III era. It's just that kids are coming here for a different reason. So we're able to jump into kids with different type of abilities. Even though we've had phenomenal players in Division III era. You know, IQ is always really important to me, so I want to be a team that doesn't beat itself. And I want to be a team that runs up and down the court. Everybody says they want to run. We're going to run, we're going to push the ball, we're going to run, but you need to have the people to run.
Right.
That's ideally what I want to do every year. So we want to recruit to that. Last year, we were missing our best player, Christian Taylor, who allows us to do some of those things, and we couldn't. We had no point guard on the roster last year, and Austin Vick and Rigo Destin did a tremendous job of handling duties that they were not brought here to do. So we could not run. We walked the ball up the court. But, you know, I want to be open. We want to make a lot of threes. We want to embrace the three-point line. We want to guard the three-point line. And we want – I was really looking forward to this year, especially because we have five seniors, and they're amazing. Amazing. And the young guys that we brought in our first scholarship class, they would have really benefited from being around them every single day. And they're really missing out on what it is to be a CSI basketball player that's supposed to be passed down to them. Not by me, not by Nick or the other coaches. It's supposed to be passed down by your older brothers. And that's the seniors. And that's the one thing that hurts me, because I came in as a junior in this program. And Mike Pan was our only senior. And there's a lot of things that I do in this program that are still be that were told to me by Mike Pan. Carry that on from somebody else. And then me, Jordan Young, and Dale Toronto, Lameek Black, and Chris Macaron, you know, JC Albano, we passed that down to the next group. And some of those things you were able to see when I came back and took over the program a couple of years ago. So those are the things that is hard to duplicate, those locker room sessions and things like that. But, you know, hopefully that when we do get back on the floor, we're representation, like we're Staten Island's team. All due respect to other colleges here, but we're Staten Island's team. So hopefully we're a reflection, both literally, we're having Staten Island kids, and then figuratively of Staten Islanders, which are tough and relentless and fiery and supportive of each other. So, you know, that's the type of team you're going to see whenever we're fortunate enough to take the floor.
Awesome. Awesome. And, you know, usually on these podcasts, TJ, we don't have to plug a certain product or something that our guests are peddling, but you yourself have a podcast, and I know you're excited about it, because when I watch them, there's smile on your face, there's passion in your voice, there's stuff that you guys are talking about on that podcast that's truly insightful, especially for someone like me who's been in athletics for so long but who doesn't know or understand some of the basketball specific nuances that you guys talk about. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing on your podcast and how people can listen.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And we have the Run the Tibby podcast, and it's a merge between Harry Hazen and Steve Diaz, who run the City Training. It's tremendous training company, and myself. And it really has been like 3 or 4 years in the making, and started off as a joke, just as a group chat that we just named to Run the Tibby, to kind of merge our two names because they run the city. And we've really just tried to push the lines of openly discussing things about basketball, coaches and trainers, and not trying to come off as experts, but putting our opinions out there and being open to disagreeing with each other. And that's the biggest thing, is that we don't get on there and say, we're going to talk about this and that, and then I have this stance. A lot of times when I hear what they're saying, it's for the first time. So we're really reacting naturally. We've gotten incredible feedback, which has been so great. And then the biggest thing for me to add to the point is that it gives me something to look forward to after my work day, to work on, to cut up some things and come up with some ideas. And like you said, it's just been a blast. Like, those guys are really, you know, are the life of the podcast. You know, I'm fortunate enough that they combine with me so I can, you know, speak about things and whatever the case may be. But it's really helped myself do something else and to work on something that I'm not comfortable doing, which is speaking about things and whatever the case may be. So it's been awesome. And Harry Hazen and Steve Diaz have been tremendous in the podcast.
And how do people catch that podcast, TJ?
It's on YouTube. You can just go to Run the City, or you can just type in Run the Tibby podcast, and all the episodes will pop up. And it's also available on My Day Voice, everywhere where they stream podcasts. So, but you know, mostly Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So. That's the greatest thing. So I appreciate you guys letting me do that on here.
Of course, of course. And TJ, it's a pleasure to have you. It's amazing how quickly 40 minutes flies by. I wish we had a lot more time with you, but we will let you go for today. And hopefully, when we do have our season and when we pick back up, we hope to have you on again. We could talk a little bit more men's basketball, hoops, and life in general. Thanks again, TJ.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. And when Nick and I will do is we will step aside, take a break, come back, and we will wrap up this edition of the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com.
In NCAA Division II, student-athletes leave a lasting impression on their communities. That's because Division II student-athletes want to make a difference and truly be part of their surrounding communities. Through community engagement, thousands of student-athletes from various backgrounds interact with community members who view them as role models. This interaction leaves a positive and perhaps even life-changing impression on all those involved. In Division II, we rise to the opportunity and make community engagement ours.
Welcome back to the Dolphin Pod, right here on CSIDolphins.com.
Welcome back, Dolphins fans, to the Dolphin Pod. That was a great conversation with TJ Tibbs, Nick. And, you know, as we've said before with TJ, it's a conversation that can go on because we have so many great things to discover and talk about. But TJ is a bevy of knowledge. He's doing things really the right way. He opened up to us a great deal. We appreciate that. And it's always a good, exciting talk when we sit down with TJ.
Yeah, we could easily have a whole season of just TJ. We don't have to worry about any other guests. He could probably cover as much as he can. But, you know, it was great talk. Like you said, he opens up. He gives you the real deal, and he tells you as it is, and he tells you what he's going through at all times. So it's great to hear, you know, that aspect of it, and hopefully the student athletes were listening, and, you know, they can take a little bit of knowledge from what he shared.
Yeah. And I, you know, I could speak to that as well too, because, you know, we get so absorbed in the, you know, the ball in the net, the bat and the ball, and so much of athletics is the games, but there's so much, a huge percentage of what we do, especially in college athletics, where there's classes and trying to develop the individual, so much more that goes into this, that goes into it. And TJ's the prime example of that as well. So it was great to hear from him, Nick. And, you know, I know we'll do it again real soon. We do have to step aside and you know, give way for this episode. But I do want to thank, you know, TJ for coming on. Nick, of course, for being our co-host. Next week, we are going to turn the page to women's basketball. And head coach Nicole Sarcone will join us on the Dolphin Pod. It's coming up next week. Every Friday here, we will debut a new show. So for everyone involved with the Dolphin Pod this week, we wish you a great rest of weekend. Go Dolphins, and thank you for listening to the Dolphin Pod.
You've been listening to the Dolphin Pod. Remember to check us out next week when we bring you a brand new show. And check out our archive broadcasts throughout the year at www.csidolphins.com/podcasts or on any of the broadcast channels like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, Breaker, and Google Podcasts. If you have questions, comments, would like to be booked on the show, or have an idea for a guest you'd like to see on the show, be sure to leave us feedback and catch all of our shows right here at csidolphins.com/podcasts. From all of us here at the College of Staten Island, thank you for listening to the Dolphin Pod.